chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. You'll find this on page 791 of the Church Bibles. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us today, that you would speak the very words that we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Half a millennia before the birth of Jesus, the Babylonian Empire was expanding and had Jerusalem in its sights. Some empires conquer and destroy. Some empires occupy. One thing that the Babylonians often did when conquering new territories was to deport the elites of a society back to Babylon. This would make it harder, they thought, for the vassal states to rebel if there was no leadership among them. This strategy didn't completely work for the Babylonians when it came to Jerusalem, though. The rebellion continued, and eventually the Babylonians destroyed the whole city and the temple, especially, and deported more citizens. Now, this time, most of those that we would consider the middle class. Now, things at first didn't seem all that bad for those exiles. They actually had a lot of freedom in Babylon. They could plant crops, they could engage in commerce, they could marry in Babylon, they could build homes. It became a pretty comfortable life. Some of them were pretty industrious, and some of them became quite wealthy. But something was missing. They never got over the loss of the holy city and of God's temple. Psalm 137 hints at the depth of their despair When it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept when we remembered Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? This was more than a mere sentimental longing for the past. They were in despair because they were separated from God. This tells the same story of the lament as the lament that we see in our reading today, where they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. One writer translates this a little more succinctly, but very powerfully. Dried up our bones, perished our hope, cut off we ourselves. And in the midst of this, the hand of the Lord comes to Ezekiel, and the Lord shows him a valley filled with dry bones. God asks Ezekiel if these dry bones can live. And then God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones. And so he prophesies, and they become flesh. Then God tells him to prophesy to the breath. And he prophesies to the breath, and the Spirit comes and enlivens these now enfleshed bones. God was showing in this vision his prophet how he was going to renew Israel. And God renewing Israel was like a rerun of creation. Now, you know, this, the way he did this is not how we like to do things. If we had been in charge of enlivening the dry bones, surely we would have created a strategic plan. We would have developed an outreach program for these bones. I promise you, we would have formed a committee or two. We so quickly forget the power through the Spirit of God's word read and proclaimed. Sometimes the lectionary pairs an Old Testament passage and a New Testament passage together, and you wonder when you read them both what they were thinking when they did that, because it's hard to see a connection. But the connection between today's readings is much easier to see. I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you on your own soil, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. And then at Pentecost, we see God's Spirit blowing through the community of God's people. At Pentecost, we see God's Spirit creating the body of Christ from the dry bones of the scattered disciples who just a week ago were staring at the sky wondering what to do next. At Pentecost, we see God's Spirit enlivening that body with the gospel, empowering them to proclaim the good news of forgiveness and life in Christ throughout the whole world. One Bible scholar calls the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 the clearest biblical reapplication of Ezekiel's vision. Maybe we see this connection because the imagery in Ezekiel of those dry bones is so rich. It's that rich imagery that makes it easy to see connections, I think, with our own lives. What is your valley of dry bones, where you look and you see nothing but death? Nothing but lifeless bones, nothing but impossibility. For some, it is the grief following the death of a loved one. For others, it's an economic calamity. For still others, it's being stuck in a situation where you can see no way out. What you once had has been lost. You're in exile. For others, it's easier to see a connection between this story and what God might say to his people as a whole, the church, today. After all, the original context for this passage was God reconstituting God's people anew. And so some might look at our congregation. Ours is certainly not a dead congregation. But they might look at a congregation that has few young children and worry. Worry about how we can draw more people. Worry about we can have enough children to do a children's sermon. Worry about whether we should create this program or that program so that we can avoid becoming a valley of dry bones. Still others might look at our denomination. Again, not a dead one, but one that has lost the power and the vibrancy that it had decades ago, and worry about what to do next. Some might worry about being caught behind where society is on issues that they think are justice issues. They worry that we're losing our relevance. Others also worry about the denomination, but for them, it's more of a worry about how the denomination has lost its way and has left behind the living word of Christ as testified to in the Bible. I don't stand before you today to say that those are irrational fears. I think they're very rational. But remember how this God, this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how this God works. This God is a God of new creation. This God is a God of return from exile, of gathering from the scattered. This God is a God of resurrection. We can see how this God works throughout the Bible and throughout history. God gives life to people in situations where it seems that there's no hope, that seem to have no potential, that seem to be completely unredeemable. This is how God worked originally at creation. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. This is how God worked after the time of Ezekiel, when God returned the exiled community to Jerusalem and worked through Ezra and Nehemiah to rebuild the temple. This is how God worked at the death of our Savior, when the Spirit breathed life anew into the one who had hung on a cross and been buried in the tomb. This is how God worked when Jesus gathered with his disciples the night of the resurrection, showing them his hands and his side, saying, "Peace be with you." John writes, "When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" This is how God worked at Pentecost, taking an unsure and uncertain group of disciples, breathing life into the church, and spreading the gospel throughout the world. The God who works in this way is not finished yet. Even if all around you, you can see nothing but piles of dry bones. It is a God who can sustain Nelson Mandela in prison for 20 years, then end apartheid, and use him and others to begin reconciliation and healing of the deep wounds of that unjust and racist system. It is a God who can take a bitter and vicious political operative, Chuck Colson, and use the exile of prison for his crimes in the Watergate scandal and turn him into the founder of a prison ministry that for decades has worked to promote prisoner rehabilitation. This is a God who returns the exiled, who gathers the scattered, and who raises the dead to new life in Christ. Some here are in exile today, right now. And whether it is an exile of comfortable but ultimately empty routines, an exile in a prison of your own making, or an exile of injustice from which you long for vindication, you might be saying, "Our bones are dried up. Our hope has perished. We are cut off." And to you, I want to say, hear the word of the Lord. "I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.